Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You split the sea so I Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. I will not
Well, good morning. Welcome to Sarita House of Worship Sunday service. It's April the 26th, and we're going to have, I believe God's got a good word for us today. The title of the message is Sin No More. And before we go into the word, I'm just going to ask Pastor John if he would pray. Thank you, Pastor.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you are with us every moment of every day, Lord. So this morning, Lord, I ask that as Pastor Henry brings your word to those, Lord, as we are home, that your presence would be just so, so overwhelming, Lord, that every word that comes from Pastor Henry's heart through his mouth, Lord, would reach the hearts of those listening to this message today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love your people, and regardless of whatever circumstances we're in, Lord, we know that you never leave us, you never forsake us, Lord. So, Lord, just bless each person this day, Lord, with an open heart, Lord, that we would just hear with our hearts, Lord. And we pray this in your Son's glorious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Good to see you. We don't see a lot of the folks from around the house of God, man. So it's good to see those that are here. Praise God. Under 10, of course. not children. Not under 10 years. Anyway, praise God, man. I don't know. All that stuff you can cut out if you need to. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to take you to John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read to verse 15. And I'm just excited about what God is doing. I believe God is strengthening the body of Christ no matter what we see with our eyes. I have just believing that God is doing what he's saying he's been wanting to do for the last, ever since Jesus died on the cross. But I'm believing that God is gonna do such a great thing when we get back to the house, that we will see and hear things that we weren't even expecting because of what the Holy Spirit has been doing with his people. And here in John chapter 5, starting at verse 1, the Word of God says this: After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, saying, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Verse 10 says, The Jews therefore said to him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said to me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said to thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he said, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away in a multitude were in that place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come to thee. I used to take a look at this, and the statement that Jesus said here, he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And in my young life as a Christian, when I'd read this, it would really trouble me, because I'd look at it and I'd say, oh man, because I'd have an occasion where I did something that was incorrect, or I said something incorrect, or I had a thought that was not good, and I would immediately condemn myself, or maybe very possible it was an enemy coming against me, because I knew what it says here. It says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you. And I was saying, Lord, I don't get it. Why would you say something like that? So I talked to a few people, and they said, well, he didn't really mean what he said there. I said, what do you mean? Because he knows that we cannot live a life without sin. So he didn't really mean it. And that didn't go very well with me. I said, why would he say it if he didn't mean it? That's just not the same. That's not the same God I serve. The God I serve says things and he means it. So it was in my heart. I said, man, I'm not going to sin. And then I'd get mad. Oh, and then I'd get angry. The Bible says that anger can be a sin to a man. And I know it was to me, because I would have these little fits of anger. And so all within me, I'm thinking something worse is going to come on me because I'm sinning. I didn't understand what the gospel said. Let me take you to another place, and it's in John chapter 8. The Word of God says that two or three witnesses shall everything be established. And so what I'm going to look here in this is what Jesus told this woman that was brought before him. It says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple. And all the people came to him and sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they did, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise God. And I looked at this and I go, oh my goodness, here it is again. Go and sin no more. One of the things that I didn't realize, that what the Word of God teaches, is that Jesus died for our sins. When it says that he knew us before the foundation of the world, and he knew our hearts, and yet he died for us, I didn't realize that when he died, he died for all of our sin. Sin cannot be imputed to the person that believes that Jesus Christ died for their sin. Do you know that? Do you know that, church? Sin cannot be imputed to you, to those that trust in the Lord. So when he says sin no more, what I used to think was an impossibility, and it was actually backed up by some folks that I knew. There used to be a person that was in one of the congregations I was in, and he used to tell me, I'm just an old sinner. And when I was going through this, I said, no, you're not. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, who the Bible says you are. He goes, no, no, I'm just an old sinner. I said, well, it's a humbling thing to say, isn't it? It is. But the fact of the matter is you're contrary to what God is telling you about who you are. And it's important that you don't do that to yourself or to God, because God did send his son to clean you and to wash you and to make you whole. And so when you say things like that, friend, so there's a lot of folks that are out there that still believe this, that they're just an old sinner saved by grace, and they're not. They were an old sinner saved by grace, but now they are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Word of God said, let's talk a little bit about sin. I know it's not a good subject to talk about, but I would, for whatever reason God gave me this message, I know that God is saying, he says, look, it's important that we understand what he's done for us. And that there is, as it says in Hebrews, there is a deceitfulness to sin that you can walk in and not even understand that you're there. And so that's why reading the Word is so important. But let's see what the Word says about sin. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says this, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And here the scripture tells us that sin and iniquity actually separate the person from God. That's an important message to people today who do not know God and think that they're okay, and think that because years ago they might have given their hearts to the Lord, and they have since then kind of just forgotten about what God has done for them and just lived their own lives. Here's a statement that says, sin will separate you from God. So when they heard the Word of God, did they really commit their life to him where the sin was washed away, or was it just lip service? I mean, a lot of times we have lip service. How many of you know that lip service sometimes is different than what the heart is saying? How many of you know that? Anybody know that? That sometimes your heart might be one way and your lips are the other way. God talks about this in Isaiah, where he says, they profess that they know me, but in their hearts they are far from me. And so could this be the case for some of those folks that think they have given their heart to the Lord, but yet have not committed their lives to the Lord? Therefore, the sin still remains. It's one of those things that we say, man, the Word of God does bring a clarity to it, if you'll stay in the Word of God, if you'll understand it. Hallelujah. So it does say that sin separates you from God. Iniquities separate you so that he will not hear you. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is an entry verse, I would say, into the kingdom. These verses, like this one, says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I think in 1 John, the Bible says, if a man say he has not sinned, he is a liar. Hallelujah. Because I've been talked to by folks that when I speak something about this, they will say, well, if you say that you haven't sinned, you're a liar. And I say, yeah, well, what we're talking about is an entry verse into the kingdom. We're talking about the beginning of understanding that you're a sinner. And he says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That is a fact. A scripture that is speaking about our inheritance from our father Adam, that our great 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 grandfather Adam, who sinned and passed sin upon all generations. So that scripture is agreeing with that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5:12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, which was Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Here's another scripture, by two or three witnesses, everything shall be established, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And death entered in through sin. I want you to just pay attention to that scripture, because just take a look at that, because sin brought death. God told Adam when he was in the garden, he said, the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will surely die. The sin of disobedience to God brought death upon man. And every man has experienced that since then. You cannot, where there is no sin, death has no entry place. I'm going to say that. I know that a lot of folks don't understand what's being said, but when I say that, I just want you to understand this thing, that death, the only reason death can have a hold of you is because of sin. If Jesus has washed your sin away, what place does death have? It's a question for you. You have to answer that yourself. You have to allow God to speak those things to you. Hallelujah. It's a really neat plan. It's a beautiful plan that God had to bring life to man and life more abundant. Hallelujah. So notice that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. But God provides an answer. God provides a remedy for man's problems and his trouble. And this remedy is in his Son. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. Hallelujah. Here's the remedy. Here is one of the scriptures that it refers to the remedy that God is going to have. It says, and it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, behold, I am here. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. Can you imagine Abraham when he heard these words coming from his father? Whoa, this is my son. And he's looking at his son, and the next morning he says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood and the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I like Abraham's faith. He said, I and the lad will go and will come back. In the New Testament, the Bible says that Abraham, knowing the promise that God had made him, that in Isaac shall his seed be called. He knew the promise. So he had to believe that God would, if he sacrificed him, that God would raise him up. And Abraham took the wood of a burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together, and Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went, both of them together. And as you know, if you know the story, that right before Abraham was to slay his son, that an angel spoke and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham turned and looked, and he saw there was a lamb caught in a thicket. God provided a lamb that morning, but Abraham also prophesied something here. He prophesied that God would provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. When Moses came and took the children of Israel, Israel was in the desert, and God told them, I want you to build me a tabernacle that I might dwell among them. God wanted to dwell among the people of God. And so he said, build a tabernacle. And this tabernacle, its sole purpose was to for God's presence to be upon the tabernacle so that he could minister to his people. But there was something he had to do. They had to provide sacrifice so that the sin that was upon them would be covered by the blood of the sacrifice so that God could minister to them. And that was the purpose, so God could be with among them. And that was the purpose. And God, so he set up a system of sacrifice, and they would take a lamb and they would shed his blood for God. So in the New Testament, where John the Baptist was baptizing in the wilderness, John chapter 1, verse 29, this is what John the Baptist says. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." That's a beautiful statement, because a couple of the apostles that were there when John spoke this, they heard him and they turned their focus on Jesus and began to follow Jesus. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Can I say to you today that the sin problem has been dealt with? It was dealt with when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 whatever years ago. That sin that you did, that you're having problems with today, if you would turn to Jesus, Jesus will wash it away and wash you from all unrighteousness, like the Word of God says. All unrighteousness will be washed away from you if you believe that Jesus died for your sin. Sin has been a problem, but this problem has now been eradicated by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you will believe, if you will allow him to speak his words into your life, you will find that you are a new creature. You are in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. "For as many as believed him," the Word of God says, "to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever is whosoever. Whosoever will believe. The sins of the world have been washed away. Huh. Isn't that great? That's good. The sin of the world. Listen to what Micah says in Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. "Who is a God like unto thee?" Who is like God? "That pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will turn again and he will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Isn't that good? You know what I really like about this? The Bible says right here, he says that he will subdue all your iniquities. He does it. You see, God is a God that desires to do a work in you that brings glory to him. Some folks might think, "I can't get away from this. I cannot get away from what I do. This is what I do. I yield so quickly to the sin that so easily besets me. I yield so quickly." But the fact of the matter is, if you allow God, he will subdue it. He will subdue it so that his glory may come upon you, because you can't do it. Do you know that sin is too strong? Those things that you, when I was drinking and I thought I could quit drinking at any time, I found out that I couldn't. I found out that I was hooked. I was a man that was in bondage and I could not get away. But I'll tell you what, when God came into my life, he washed that, he forgave my sins, and that washed away. That thing that I've having so much trouble with was gone in an instant. When I gave my life to God. Ooh, come on, man. I remember how hard I was trying, because I knew it was destroying my life. I knew it was destroying my marriage. I knew it. And I tried so hard to do it on my own, but I could not. And I knew it. I knew I needed something, but I didn't know what it was. It was Jesus Christ. He was what I needed. And he was more than enough to remove that shackle, that chain that was upon my life. He was more than enough. He forgave my sins because he loves mercy. Praise God. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says this. I am he that blots out thy transgressions. See, he's the one that removes those. He's the one that gets rid of those transgressions for his own sake. See, it is the creator and the created. And he created us in a way that we should not be walking in sin. So he says, I do it for my own sake. And he says, and I will not remember your sins. Isn't it good that God does not remember your sins? Because I will tell you, there are people that will remember your sins. And after I got saved, I had a friend tell me one day, he says, man, oh, I remember how you are. You were a little devil. And it bothered me when he said that to me. But nevertheless, the Word of God says that God does not remember our sins. He releases them. Isaiah 44, verse 22 says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgression. What is it that you're doing that's contrary to God? What is it? Know that God says that he has blotted it out. As a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. And then he says this, return to me, for I have redeemed thee. Sometimes there's people that are out there that think that whatever they've done is too much, that God can no longer, it is impossible for God to love them. The fact of the matter, God so loved them that he gave his son for them. And that God even told us in a scripture earlier that he loves mercy. So he's calling to you, whoever you are, whoever you are listening to, not only Christians, but also to men and women that do not know the Lord, have never experienced the life-changing experience that God does when he washes your sins away. He's calling to you. He says, return to me, for I have redeemed you. I have paid a price to get you to where I want to take you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And just like these folks, just like the woman that was caught in adultery and the man that was laying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, it takes an encounter with Jesus. It takes an encounter with Jesus. Nothing else can remove sin from man. No one else can remove sin from man. Only an encounter with Jesus, it is possible for you to sin no more. Now to some of you that have been walking as a Christian for quite a while now, and you might be continuing to do what you know is contrary to God. And when I speak to you that you can walk in sinless perfection, if you will, if you can walk sinless in this world, you might say, hey, you're crazy. You might tell me you're crazy, but I'm going to say, take a look at the Word of God and see what it tells you. Because you can walk sinless. You see, God didn't create man to walk in sin. God created man to walk in righteousness. You're actually created to walk in righteousness. Righteousness should be the norm. But for some reason, we think that righteousness is not the norm. It's something I do occasionally, but most of the time, I'm sinning. And that's not true, and that's not correct. You can walk sinless. You've been created to walk sinless. Do you really want to walk sinless? There's a question there. That's a question that needs to be asked. Do you really want to walk in sinless perfection? Do you really want to walk where you know that you haven't been sinning? Do you really want that? That's got to be something that's deep within you. Say, yeah, oh God, I don't want to offend you in any way. God, I don't want to do anything that is contrary to who you are, God. And I know there is no sin in heaven. I know that. So do you really want to walk without sin? Or is it possible that you like your sin? Here's a question for you. Is it possible that you like it? Are you creating a house of excuse by saying that you don't believe that man can walk in sinless perfection? Are you creating a house of excuse so that you can continue to do what you're wanting to do? Are you doing that? Is it because you like it? Because the Word of God does tell us that there is pleasure in sin for a while, for a season. But you need to check your heart. Do you like what you're doing? Do you like that occasionally you go and you get a hold of it once again? I'm going to tell you something. Pornography is a sin. It's not good for you. Hate is not good for you. Unforgiveness is not good for you. God doesn't see it the way we try to explain it. He just tells us this is the way it is. Do you like walking in? Is that maybe that's why you won't believe that you can walk this way? Creating a house of excuse. I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Because you've been created for so much more than what we think. Hebrews 3. The Word of God says, take heed, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, sin has a deceitfulness. It has a place where it can kind of lie to you. And you might think, hey, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. If I do this once in a while, I'm okay. I'm all right. And you say, God will forgive me. God is a God of mercy. God, can I tell you, every time you do it, and you push against what God is doing in your life, can I tell you, the deceitfulness begins to help you to move away from what God's trying to do. It will pull you away from God because you're allowing that deceitfulness of that sin that you're saying it's okay. You're allowing it into your life, and you really need to take a close look at it. I want to read it in the Passion Translation, praise God, TPT. Here it is in the Passion Translation. So search your hearts every day, my brothers and sisters. Make sure that none of you has an evil or unbelief hiding within you. Do you hear what it's saying? This evil or unbelief can be hiding within you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the time to encourage each other to never be stubborn or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Here it is. This thing can hide in your heart because maybe you don't want to give it up. But I'm going to tell you something. It's time that you realize what it is and what it's doing for you. And you say, hey, now's the time. I believe God has been preparing the body of Christ for the time like today. I believe that God is beginning to put messages like this into the heart of men all over the country because of today, because God is preparing a body of believers that will not put up with sin in their lives. You have nothing to do with the people that's around you that might be doing something wrong. You can't change it. You can pray for them, but that'd be about it. But for your life, you better not be putting up with sin. Just as Jesus told these two, sin not. Sin not. Go your way and sin not. He's saying that to us again today. Do not sin. Hallelujah. You cannot. You cannot walk in the things that are contrary to God and expect God just to go along with it. You just can't. He is trying to work these things out of your lives if you will allow him to. That's why he says, look at yourself, brothers, sisters, every day, every day. Let me take you to Hebrews 5, verses 5, starting at verse 13, and we're going to go through to 6, 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says here, it says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Let me just say this to you. Today is a day where we need to be skillful in the word of God. We need to be able to at a moment's time, hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and allowing that word of God to penetrate into our lives so that we can say, hey, man, this is what God is saying to me today. I ask a lot of folks, I say, what is God saying to you today? Well, and they won't really give me an answer because maybe God's not speaking to them. But I believe that every Christian on the planet should have an answer. Well, if anybody was to walk up to you and say, hey, what's God saying to you today? There should be something that immediately pops up because you're doing what God is having you to do, going after him in the morning. The word of God says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Are you daily going to the word of God? Are you spending time daily? And when he says, give us this day, that doesn't sound like a nighttime prayer. That sounds like a daytime prayer to me. I would say that the day is just beginning. Are you going to God to find out what he has to say for you today? Because today is the day of salvation. Yesterday, you can't do anything about. Tomorrow, you can't do anything about. Today is the day. What are you doing today? What is God saying to you today? Oh, come on, folks. We've got to be messengers of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We have to be looking, hallelujah, for what God is saying to us today. So Hebrews 5:13 says this. It says that every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, both to discern good and evil. It's amazing to me how that men and women of God, as they walk, as if you're walking in the Word and you're allowing the Word to do something within you, allowing it to purge and to cleanse you, because we all have areas in our lives we're not even sure about. We have a lot of things. We have doubts and unbeliefs and things going on in there. We have some desires that have not been taken care of by the Lord. We have all sorts of things in these dirty closets. And God is saying, it's time to clean house. And God has, by his Spirit, been talking to our house, saying, I want you in the closet so I can expose things to you. A lot of times, exposing is not just what's happening in the world. A lot of times, exposing things that are contrary to him so that he can remove those things. Anytime God removes something out of your life, he will always place something good in it. I want to say that to you again. Anytime God tries to remove something for you, he's going to place something to replace it with something that is good. It always happens that way. I have noticed that. I've noticed that when God has taken something like anger out of me, he placed something different in me. He placed words of life in me that said, you know, an angry man does not fulfill the righteousness of God. When it says words placed in your heart to subdue whatever thing was happening in your life, know that God is doing that in the world today. He's doing that in his body because he is ushering in a kingdom. A kingdom is coming into the earth, and it is a kingdom like no other kingdom. He's speaking it today. Therefore, leaving those principles, the Bible says, therefore, this is chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. It seems like, dude, man, that ain't right. We've got to leave the principles of the doctrine? Are you kidding me? That don't even sound right. But he's not talking about leaving them. He's talking about a foundation that's been laid that needs to be, okay, now the foundation is laid. Let's move on. Let's build the rest of the house. Let's go on to do what we need to do. And here's what he says. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of doctrines of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And then he says this we will do if God permit. I like that. We'll do all that if God permit. But I'll tell you, he says in there, let us move on to perfection. What is it that he's trying to get us to move on to? I want to read this in the Passion Translation. It says this, for every spiritual infant who lives on milk is not yet pierced by revelation of righteousness. Can I tell you, everything in the kingdom of God comes to man by revelation. Hallelujah. We need to be spending our time in the presence of God so God can reveal the things he has for you personally. Teachers and preachers and apostles and prophets and all these men, are their main goal is to bring you to something. We spoke about it a little bit last week, but what they are to bring you to is into the full knowledge of the Son of God, that you might look like Jesus. That's what they're doing. That's what we're trying. We're not trying to build you so you look like us. Isn't that right, Pastor John? Are you supposed to be looking like me? Are you supposed to go out there and say everything? No, come on, man. That's not what it's about. It is being perfection. Because what is perfection? You know, people have told me and told me again, you cannot be saying that you're perfect. Oh, no, I'm not telling you I'm perfect, my friend. What I'm saying is he that is perfect is within me. That's what I'm saying. I have died. And he that is perfect lives within me. And that's what I'm looking. That's what I'm desiring. So he says this. But solid food is for the mature, whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters. This is one of the reasons somebody asked me, you don't look at the news, man? Somebody I was talking, I said, I try not to look at the news because the news has nothing for me. Can I tell you that? News has nothing for me. I'm looking for the news of heaven. I'm looking for spiritual heavenly matters. That's what I'm looking for. And they have been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge with understanding of the difference between what is truly excellent and what is evil and harmful. Can I say to you today, we have a lot of people looking, and I will say this, and it doesn't bother me so much because I understand where it's coming from, but I will say there's a lot of folks saying, Jesus coming soon, Jesus coming soon. Get ready. Jesus is coming soon. Can I say this to you, Church of the Living God? Jesus is on the planet. He's in you. He's already here. If you're looking for revival, I will tell you, go to your closet. You'll find revival when God begins to speak to you. You'll find that revival that you're looking for. Revival is not going to be found out in the marketplace. It's got to come out of the closet. It really does. It has to come out of your presence with God, of the presence of God. That's where revival is found. And now I would say there are more people looking to get off the planet than they are looking for what God is trying to do to the body of Christ, that the glory of God might be seen in the earth, that it might be seen in the earth. Why would God pull a body of Christ off before his glory can be seen? Why would he do that? Because he wouldn't. He will not do that. He is desiring that the body of Christ step up into the position that he has created for them. That's what God is trying to do today. He's called us to his closet. Man, woman of God, know this. God is saying, sin not. But in your sinning not, you will find that those things that God has already provided for you will begin to manifest in your life so that you might touch the world with the kingdom of God. The kingdom is coming, friend. There is a place in Hebrews that I didn't write this down. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Verse 4 says this. Verse 4 is talking about men and women of God that actually turn away. Because there are men and women of God that turn away from the things of God. And it's very, very dangerous. It really is. It really is. This we will do if God permit, is what verse 3 says. And then verse 4 says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, verse 6 says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This, man, this is a spooky scripture to me. Oh God, let me never, never step back into the things that I once did. Father, I don't want to do that. Because Father, I do see that this is describing a man or a woman that has tasted the heavenly gift, the Holy Ghost, partakers of the Holy Ghost, and the good word of God. But I want you to look at the powers of the world to come. The power of the world to come. Do you have that in the TP team? Yeah, can you put that up? I want you to look at what it says here. Because there is a power that's coming to this world that the world doesn't know about it yet. And I'm not even sure the church is even looking for it, because church is busy looking for other things where it should be looking for what God is trying to do. In the TPT, in the Passion Translation, what the Word of God says here in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, now is the time for us to progress beyond the basic message of Christ. Now is the time. Amen. Now is the time. And advance into perfection. That's what God is saying. He wants us to advance into perfection. The foundation has already been laid for us to build upon, turning away from our dead works, to embrace faith of God, teaching about different baptisms, impartation and by laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So with God's enablement, I love that word, His enablement, we will move on to deeper truths. With God's enablement, I'm going to tell you something. Can I just say this to you? It's not up to man to teach you. It's up to God. God wants to teach you these things. The deeper truths are going to come from the presence of God while you're in His presence, so that He can teach you these things. So get that clear in your head. Make sure, you know, praise God for all the men and women that are teaching the Word of God. But I'm telling you, the real truth and the real revelation to you personally comes only what God has to say to you personally. So God's enablement, we will move on to deeper truths. And then verse 4 says, it is impossible to restore an apostate. For once a person has come into God's light and tasted the gifts of the heavenly realm and has received the Holy Spirit, and has feasted on the good word of God, and has entered into the power of the age that is breaking in, if he abandons his faith, there is no use even trying to lead him to repentance. By their sin of apostasy, they re-crucify the Son of God and have publicly repudiated him. God will not have that. God will not re-crucify his Son for you. He's died once for sins, and that's it. And God is merciful. I will say that so there might be somebody say, oh my God, I've really made the mistake. And so let me just say this to you. If it's in your heart that your heart is asking for forgiveness, your heart knows, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that a person that turns away from God, like it's describing, will not even have a hint of repentance. There will be no repentance. He's too good for God's repentance. He's too good to try to repent to God. I mean, that I believe that with my heart. I really believe that. I believe a person that truly goes to God with a repentant heart and says, Father, I've sinned and I've done wrong. God, will you wash these? I believe that God, who loves mercy, will wash those things away. There is a point. There is a place where there is no turning back. But I want you to focus on a word that says, if he abandons his faith, there is no use trying to lead him to repentance. I want you to focus on this other place where it says, he has entered into the power of the age that is breaking in. I want you to, it says in the King James that the power is to come. But this, in the Passion Translation, it says the powers that are breaking in. Can I tell you, today is a time of the breaking in of these powers. They are coming in. God is bringing them into the body of Christ, and he's strengthening the body of Christ, not to get them off the world, but that the world might know without a doubt that God has redeemed the world, and God has spoken to his children that his kingdom will come onto the earth, and it will be seen in the earth, and then after that will we be called away, I believe. So I would ask God's people, sin not, but also put away those things that are so easily besetting you, because they are sin. They are sin. You've got to know that God has washed all sin away, but you got to know if you continue in it, knowing that God is contrary to it, you cannot continue in that. So there is a point where it actually comes back upon you. Stop doing that. Go after what God is saying, go after what he's doing, and you'll see the kingdom of God on the earth. You'll operate in ways that you haven't even understood, but God will operate those things through you and bring understanding to you, because that's just who he is. He loves his creation, and his creation needs to be bowing to him as our creator, our God. He will complete the work in righteousness and then we'll be gone. I believe that. In the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning. I know this message might be a little bit tough to some, but I will say to you that God is looking at your life. He knows what's in your heart. I will say to you, it is important that you go to God and say, God, I don't want these in my life anymore. I don't want to walk in these things. These things are contrary to who you are and contrary to who I am in Christ Jesus. Walk in the Spirit and you will not be led by your flesh. Walk in the Spirit. For those of you that have never given your heart to Christ, I would say that Jesus has paid the price for you to come to God, to be with Him, to know Him, to understand Him. Jesus has paid that price. So if you would pray this prayer with me really quick, and believe it in your heart, I believe God will do a mighty work in your life. Say these words with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that I've heard this morning. Father, I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins. I believe on the third day He rose again from the dead. And Lord, I ask you into my life. Come into my life. Lead me and guide me. Thank you, Lord, for taking away my sin. I believe you. And Lord, I will try to live sinless, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. If you said that prayer and believed it in your heart, said it in your heart to the Lord, I believe that you are saved. I believe God has saved you. Stay in His Word. Read the Word of God. As soon as you can find a good church when they are open, find a church and serve God with all your heart, all your life, all your soul, in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to Sarita House of Worship. We'll see you next week. And I believe next week, Pastor Pat Bannister will be preaching. Is that? And we will be excited and waiting for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. Look for our new podcast, Showtime, this coming Wednesday. In the meantime, you can get updates and further information about our church at welcometotheshow.org. Until next time, God bless.